Give you all a very warm word of welcome to this service today, whether you're here in the meeting house or those who are in the car park or those who are watching online. We do gather in the presence of Almighty God to remember his sovereign control in death as in life. We come to give thanks for the life of Mrs. Jeanette Stewart. We come to seek God's word for our hearts as we worship his great name together. We're going to begin by singing the opening praise on the sheet, I Have a Shepherd. And just to remind you that as we're singing, please wear the face mask as we're singing. And after we sing this praise, the Reverend Dennis Christie, the minister of St. Colmanilles and Arran's Parents Minister, after this praise, he's going to come and lead us in prayer and read God's word for us. But we sing this lovely praise, and just to say that both the praise today have been picked by Jeanette and were praise that were very dear to her. I have a shepherd.
Thank you. Please be seated.
I am very privileged to be invited and to be involved today. I got to know Jeanette a little bit and knew her as an incredibly brave woman, an incredibly positive lady in the face of the obvious and overwhelming physical battle that was ahead of her. But she was also a spiritual woman who took her situation, her circumstances to the Lord. And I was really encouraged to learn. I understand that she took the opportunity to commit her life to the Lord Jesus, her Lord and Savior. Whilst that is encouraging and worthy of celebration, there is still a giant gap today for a real gem of a person, a real gem of a mother, a real gem of a wife, as well as the many places she has held in the lives of those who mourn her. So I invite us all now to bow our heads and pray together as we take this to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, this is a difficult day, and we seek your help. Your word reminds us that you are the creator and sustainer of all there is. It reminds us that we bring nothing into the world and we can take nothing out. It reminds us that it is you who gives and who takes away. But it also reminds us that you love and care for each of us intimately, and that those who believe and trust in Jesus as their Savior will know your love, your peace, your comfort for real, both in this world and the next. Lord God, we simply ask that you still our hearts now as we focus on the life of Jeanette, and as we acknowledge the loss that many of us now feel, not just today, but in the weeks, months, and the years ahead. We ask that you are with us today, that you support us in our grief, and that you will be our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Hear our prayers and comfort us. Renew our trust in your Son, whom you raised from the dead. Strengthen our faith that all who have died in the love of Christ will share in his resurrection, who's alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Two scripture readings to share with you. First one's from Psalm 116. And the second one is from the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy, because he inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me, the pangs of Sheol laid hold of me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your test, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And then our second reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. And these are the words of Jesus. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you will be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas then said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much indeed, Dennis, for leading us in prayer and God's word. On behalf of Brookside congregation, I do want to express our sincerest sympathy at this time to Aaron, Jordan, and Sam, and to Aaron's parents, to Jeanette's brother William, mother Anne, the whole family circle. We want to assure you of our prayerful support today and in the days ahead. Jeanette Torrens was born on the 26th of September 1968. I'm sure most people are aware that Sunday past, her last full day here on earth, was her 53rd birthday. Jeanette grew up in those first years at Articlave of her parents, John and Marion. And sadly, when Jeanette was just 3 years old, her mother, Marion, passed away. But she was then blessed when Anne became her mum, and later her brother, William, was born also. After her school days, Jeanette went to work as a dentist, and then she moved down here. She worked as a PA for Sam Morrison at Carbo Properties. It was in 1991 that Jeanette met Aaron up in Port Stewart, and love blossomed, and they were married on the 2nd of September 1994. They set up home in Four Towns Manor, and where they were blessed with their two sons, Jordan and Sam. And it is without doubt that family was one of the most important things in Jeanette's life. She was a truly devoted wife and such a loving mother. And in many ways, I think the best testimony that Jeanette leaves behind are not any words that I'll say today, but particularly her family that she leaves behind and the part that she had played in producing, particularly those two sons that she had and the boys that they are. Jeanette is someone who really loved life. Whether it be her holidays and places like Cuba, Mexico, Malta, to name but just a few places, longer holidays or away for just for weekend, she loved those holidays together. She loved her home. And I've got to say, her home was always immaculate. That was her great wee palace. She loved shopping. She loved fashion. Her beloved Tommy Hilfiger was very important to her. And she loved sneaking wee bags into the house when she'd been on some of her shopping expeditions. And even in recent days, some Tommy Hilfiger hoodies had to be bought and brought into the house. For Jeanette, who loved life so much to the full, these 3 years ago, it was such a tremendous change for her when she was diagnosed with cancer. After treatment, she had got the all clear, sadly, only for last year for it to come back again. And she received about a year ago that terminal prognosis. But Jeanette faced her cancer with tremendous courage and a wonderfully positive attitude. And I know that often is said in regards to people who face cancer, but I've got to be honest, I don't think I've ever met anyone who faced her cancer with as much a positive attitude that Jeanette had. I would get messages from folk that Jeanette isn't doing so well this week, and I would contact Jeanette and have this wonderfully upbeat voice telling me, oh, I'm fine, I'm doing well, and that is the way she faced it. And at times, at the beginning, I thought people had got the message wrong, but then I began to discover just how Jeanette, she put on such an amazing front as she faced it. Family were telling stories of how she would be suffering, she'd be in so much pain and that, and then whether it be the doctor coming to the door or even an ambulance coming to take her to hospital, she would put on such a positive front and get up. She was amazing the way she did that. She was determined to fight cancer to the very end. And when others would have given up on treatment, she was determined to keep going with the treatment as long as possible. She was amazingly positive, and it just speaks so much about the person that indeed she is. I know the family want me to say a word of thanks to all within the wider family circle and friends who supported Jeanette and them as a family over these past 3 years. Over this past year, Jeanette, along with Aaron, after lockdown started to attend church here. And Jeanette came to understand that she needed a real hope that would go beyond death and go beyond the grave. And just last month, after chatting to her friends William and Karen, she came to profess faith in Jesus Christ as her Savior, as her Lord. I remember the day she told me about that. There was such a wonderful brightness in her face. There was just a joy and a peace that she had in knowing that she had trusted in the Lord. What a difference in knowing that she knew Jesus as her Savior, and knowing that all was well with her soul, no matter what would happen in the days ahead. Just for a moment or two, I want us to turn to God's Word and just to think, just for our hope and encouragement, for our guidance, to think about what happens after death. I want to think just for a moment or two of what the Bible says, what God says about life after death. What happens after death for those who trust in Jesus? Well, let me speak first of all about heaven. Death is a separation of the body and the soul. The body will go into the ground, but at that moment of death, the soul goes to heaven. Do you remember what Jesus said to the thief on the cross? Today, you'll be with me in paradise. What a description of heaven. That word paradise is where it basically means a garden. Heaven is a place that is a place without any suffering. It's a place where Jesus dwells is more glorious than we can ever imagine or experience here. The Apostle Paul, as he was thinking of his own death, he says it meant for him to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. The Apostle John, in his revelation of heaven, he says about those in heaven, they are before the throne of God. They serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. He's speaking into a Middle Eastern culture. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of living waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. So heaven is a place where the Christian soul goes to that moment of death. It's a place of bliss. It's a place where there's no sadness at all, just joy unspeakable. But heaven is not the end of the story for the Christian. That would be wonderful indeed, but the story's even better. Because the Bible, as well as heaven, speaks about resurrection. At the end of this world, the Bible teaches that Jesus is going to come again. And when he returns, he'll bring with him the souls of those Christians who have died and gone to heaven. And at that point, their bodies, which have been put in the grave, will be resurrected and reunited to their souls. 1 Thessalonians 4 says this, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first." In John chapter 5, Jesus says this, "Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." And so the Bible teaches that at the end of this world, bodies are going to be raised from the graves. And this belief in the resurrecting at the end of the age can be seen in Martha's words to Jesus when her brother Lazarus died. Martha said to Jesus, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Now, what will the Christian's body be like on that day when Jesus comes again and their bodies are raised? Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, that's a foolish question. I said, but dear Paul, we want to know, what will those bodies be like? But he speaks of how the bodies we have here in this world now are a seed which will produce a much more glorious body for the world to come. You think you put a seed in the ground, it is very different from that, the plant, the flower, whatever, that it produces. And so he's saying our bodies here, these earthly bodies, are so different from the heavenly body that we're going to receive when Jesus comes again. The Christian's body will be much more wonderful and glorious than we can ever imagine. It's a real solid body, a body you can pinch yourself, but it's a body which is imperishable. It's a body that is immortal. These glorious bodies will be ones in which the Christian will never experience sickness or sin ever again. John in his first letter says of Jesus, when we see him, we shall be like him. Our bodies will mirror the pure and glorified body of Christ that he now has. The Reverend William Still was a minister in Scotland. He ministered into his 80s. And he once said this, he says, I've had as much joy in this world in knowing Christ as my body can cope with. But in the new heavens and the new earth, I am getting a more glorious body because the joy of that world to come, this body that I have now, could not cope with it. The Christian needs this glorious new body to cope with the joy of the world to come. Is this true about the resurrection? Can we believe this, that one day Jesus is going to come again and the bodies are going to be raised from the grave? Is there evidence to this? Well, I can guarantee there is evidence. And the evidence that this is going to happen is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you have four records of that resurrection in the four Gospels. That is the proof, the Bible says, that this is going to happen. As Jesus died and rose again, so all who trust in him are brought to everlasting life. So we have heaven, we have the resurrection, and then thirdly, finally, we have the new heavens and the new earth. In this resurrected and glorified body, the Christian will enter the new heavens and the new earth. The Bible teaches us that the world as we know it is going to pass away. It's going to be destroyed by fire. And then God is going to bring in the new heaven and the new earth. Revelation 21 says this, when I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. This world is going to be transformed into a glorious new world. It's going to be like the world at the beginning, the world of the Garden of Eden, a world without pain or suffering, a world in which everything is in harmony. The Bible teaches it's going to be like that, except far, far better. Far more glorious, because God will dwell with his people in a way he has never before. What a thought. This is not the end of Jeanette. For those who die in Christ, they go to heaven, they'll be resurrected, and they'll live forever in the new heavens and the earth. A real life, not a phantom existence, a real life in a solid body, in a real solid world that has no pain, no sadness, just joy everlasting. That is the hope for the Christian. How can you be sure that you will experience that one day? And it's important that you're sure, because as well as speaking about heavens and the new heavens and the new earth, the Bible also teaches about hell, a place of everlasting suffering. And the Bible teaches that the majority of people in this world go to that place called hell. Broad is the road, and many travel on it, the road to destruction. Narrow is the path that leads to life, and few find it. So how can you go to heaven one day? How can you enter into new heavens and new earth and live forever? Well, it's not by religion, it's not by good works, it's not by being a kind person. Jesus says in John 14, what Dennis read for us, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In Revelation 7, it speaks about those in heaven. It says they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They have been cleansed through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. You see, you can only go to heaven. You can only live forever in this new heavens and new earth through Jesus and his salvation and receiving this salvation. Jesus said you must be born again. You must be changed by his Spirit. Become a new person. Receive his salvation. Not religion, not good works, but Christ alone. If you're going to go to heaven, you have to receive the Jesus of heaven as your Savior, as your Lord. How do you do that? I'm a country boy. I was speaking earlier to someone about County Armagh. I'm a country boy from County Armagh. I like to keep things simple. How do you receive Jesus? A, B, C. Admit your guilt, that you've sinned against God, that you've shut God out of your life. You've done that. Admit your guilt that you deserve his judgment. B, believe that your only hope is Christ alone through his death on the cross to save sinners. Trust in that. And C, confess him as your Lord. Repent of your sin. Turn from your sin. Embrace him as your master. Admit your guilt. Believe in Jesus. Confess him as your Lord. That's what Jeanette did. That's where hope is to be found. And wouldn't it be wonderful this day that you can be sure that you'll be in the new heavens and new earth for all of eternity? Because you've admitted your guilt. You've believed in Jesus. You've confessed him as your Lord. May God give us all the grace to be sure. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for the life of Jeanette. We want to thank you for her warmth, her love, her friendly character. We want to thank you for her care and devotion to family and to friends. We want to thank you for the amazing example that she left, Father, behind of how indeed, Father, she faced her cancer with such courage and determination and such an amazingly positive attitude. Father, help us, each of us, to learn from those really good qualities in her life. But Father, thank you that in your grace and goodness you brought her to profess faith in Christ as her Savior, as her Lord. And Father, we thank you for the hope of heaven. We thank you that when the Christian dies, they go immediately in their soul to be of Christ, which is far better than this world. And then at the end of the world, their bodies will be raised, they'll be resurrected, and enter the new heaven and the new earth forever. A real solid existence, a real life lived in the presence of God. Oh, gracious God, grant that indeed that we would have that hope also. Grant that today that we would admit our guilt and believe in Jesus, trust in him, embrace him, confess him as our Lord. Oh, Father, for such grace we pray. Father, we pray for Aaron and Jordan and Sam. Father, we pray for Anne and William. We pray indeed for Aaron's parents, for the whole family circle. Just, Father, the hope of Christ, may that be their hope, their comfort, their strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing together our closing praise, and Jeanette also picked this, and if you remember nothing about today, look at the words. Take this sheet home with you and look at these words, because this is the gospel message. In Christ alone, my hope is found. What a testimony Jeanette has left behind for us. Just to say that after we sing this, I ask you to remain standing for the benediction, and then indeed as the coffin is removed. And please keep the face mask on until you leave the building. In Christ alone, my hope is found. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now until Christ calls or comes, and then forevermore. Amen.